The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
We worship here at Ashland Elementary School every Sunday, and we hope you come back to join us in future weeks. We would love to have you be a part of our worship gatherings here on Sunday mornings. All right? If you're visiting with us, we would love to connect with you more outside of Sunday morning. I'd love to grab coffee with you, share a meal. Whatever you got going on, I'll come meet you at your place of work. I don't care if it's Reston or DC. I want to meet you. If it's close, that's great too. You can meet me at my office, which is Panera, and, we'll have lunch or coffee there. Okay. So, let's meet and get to know each other. If you want to know anything about our church, our student ministries, we have student ministry every Sunday night, year round. We have children's ministry happening during Sunday services. We're going to dismiss our kids in just a minute. We've got adult Bible studies meeting in different neighborhood homes throughout Woodbridge and Manassas and Stafford and Dumfries. If you want to get engaged and connected to some other adults in a church like this, then we want to help you get connected. If you've got something in your life going on and you would like us to pray with you about it, especially today we're going to be touching on that a little bit in our Bible study time. But we want you to take seriously the idea that we take prayer seriously. And if you've got something going on in your life, we want to pray with you about whatever it is. You can write us a short summary if you want us to follow up with you about more details. We promise to partner with you in prayer. But we want to connect with you. We want to pray with you. We want to see God move in your life and do awesome things. And we hope that you'll allow us to take those steps together. So thank you for being here to visit with us. We hope to get to know you better. Let's dive in. Check out this video.
I just can't do it anymore. I have nothing left.
Between the divorce, the cancer, your mom dying and being laid off, I know it feels like you're going through a lot. Believe me, I have been there. Just remember, when God closes a door, He opens a window. And never forget, God never gives you more than you can handle.
God never said that.
Oh, I've got another one if you want to take a shot. Yeah, they come as a pair. Bring it.
Alright, so welcome. We started this series a few weeks ago called God Never Said That. We're looking at cultural statements that are simply just not true. A lot of times in our culture, we begin to think that God said certain things that just aren't in the Bible, and we're kind of trying to break those urban legends, those myths about God sayings that God actually never said. And so a couple weeks ago, we started the series. We looked at the controversial belief that above all else, God wants you happy. The truth is that God wants you more than happy. God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing. But the sorry truth is that we live in a broken world, and God wants us to experience joy in the midst of trials. And sometimes it isn't just about our personal happiness. A couple weeks from now, we're going to look at the idea of sin. A lot of times in our culture, we've heard this thing, even in our church, that all sin is the same. The Bible doesn't say that anywhere. In fact, some sins have different kinds of consequences on us depending on what's going on in your life. And we have to be careful that we don't just look at all sins the same. Other thoughts in our culture is that as long as you don't hurt anyone, you can do whatever you want. That's not in the Bible, okay? Another one that is a common misunderstanding is that if you're sincere in your beliefs, it doesn't really matter what you believe. All paths lead to God. God never said that. And we're going to be hearing actually from Rob, one of our community group leaders. He's going to teach on that one in a couple weeks. And today, we're going to look into one of my favorite sayings of all time. But before we do, let me just intro a couple things. It's been said before that if you are a human being, how many of you are human beings? Okay, that's most of you. That's good. If you are a human being, you are either just coming out of a stressful season of life, or you're in the middle of a stressful season in life, or you're about to go through a stressful season of life. Now, that's not very encouraging, is it? But how many of you would say Yeah, that's kind of true. How many of you? Yeah, I see a few. Yeah, exactly. Either for you or for a loved one, someone you know, life is not always a bowl of cherries. Sometimes it's just a bowl of pits, right? A lot of times in life when we go through things, things don't always seem to go the way we want it. And quickly in my life, I've experienced this. In my friends' lives and some of your lives, as I've walked through life with some of you, life can begin to unravel pretty quickly. Financial problems come up. Before you know it, all of a sudden, how did I get this much in debt, right? Maybe you have some relationship that's not going the way you hoped. It's blowing up and you can't understand why. Maybe you've got a teenager that's just rebellious and you're pulling your hair out of your head and you don't know what you're going to do to get their attention. Sometimes life does not go the way we expect it to, right? You get to a place where things are just falling apart. You feel like, I can't keep up. The news I just got about my health is not good. My marriage is on the road to divorce. God, why can't you fix this? What is going on? Why am I having these pains? Why don't you take them away? And it gets to a point to where the stress and the anxiety and these things build up and they get heavier and heavier and heavier to the point that we just throw our hands up in the air and say, I just can't take anymore. Have you ever been at that season in life where you're at that place and some well-meaning Christian comes up to you and says, don't worry. Don't worry. If God closes a door, He opens a window. What the heck does that mean anyway? It doesn't sound, if you're on the 12th floor, that's definitely not good news, okay? But sometimes Christians say that kind of stuff and it's not in the Bible. It's not there. And then this one, remember, God helps those who help themselves. It's not in the Bible. You can go to your concordance, you can do a Google study, whatever you want, you will not find that in the Bible. And then today, the one we're going to touch on is this one. Don't worry, I know it's all bad, but God will never give you more than you can handle. How many of you have heard that phrase? How many of you have said that phrase? Let's be honest. Yes. It's not in the Bible. So where does this idea come from? There's a very powerful scripture that I want us to look at this morning where this idea comes from. It's misquoted. It's misinterpreted. It's misread. And it doesn't say what we think it says. But what it does say is very powerful and very true. And we need to look at scripture for all that it is, all the truth that it has. And we need to embrace the fact that God never said that He wouldn't give us more than we can handle. In the book of Corinthians, the first Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 13, it says this. It says, God is faithful. And this is good news. We have a God that is a faithful God. The scripture tells us that God is love. It is who He is. God doesn't just love you. He is love. God is a faithful, loving God. And He will not let you what? Be tempted beyond what you can bear. Now, what's happening here is Paul is speaking about temptation in your life. He is speaking to the Christians at this area, this area called Corinth, and he's saying, I want you not to worry because God will never give you temptation too hard for you to get through it. It's very different than the other phrase we've been saying. Temptation is something that comes upon all of us. The Bible teaches us that all temptation, no temptation has come upon you except which is common to everyone. Jesus himself was even tempted just as we are, and yet he never sinned. And what God is trying to get through here, Paul is telling us that God is faithful and he will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. But when you are tempted, he will always provide a way out. Scripture never says that God will not let you endure more than you can handle. In fact, if you look through the scriptures, you're going to see account after account, event after event, character after character who had more than they could handle. If you look back to the book of Judges, there was a guy named Gideon who said, God, I know you're trying to choose me to lead our people, to protect our people. This crazy army of Midianites are coming. They're going to demolish us. And God, you're calling me a warrior? Don't you know that I'm the weakest in my family? I'm the most inadequate person in all of my clan. There is no way that you can use me. And God says, you know what? That's right. You can't do it alone, but I can do it through you. And he takes Gideon and this army. Gideon ends up going through these steps following God's commands, and he gets this army of 30,000, and God whittles it down to 300 people. And Gideon's like, you got to be joking, God. There's no way that me and 300 people are going to face 300,000 of our enemy. And God says, that's right, you can't do it alone. I'm giving you more than you can handle so that you know that when you are victorious, you're going to know it was me and not you that did it. Gideon had more than he could handle. Moses was cast out of Egypt. He was sent to the mountainside. He becomes a shepherd, and God speaks to him through a burning bush and says, Moses, I'm sending you back to Egypt. You're going to be my mouthpiece. You're going to tell Pharaoh to let my people go, and you're going to lead them to the promised land. And Moses is like, God, do you know who you're talking to? I'm slow of speech. I've got like a speech problem. I can't speak for you. And I'm not a good leader. Don't you see what happened to me when tension came? I killed a man. There's no way you can put me over your people. I'm not good enough. And God says, you know what? You're not good enough, but I'm still going to use you. I'm going to give you more than you can handle so you know that it's me working in your life. Esther, we studied Esther last summer. Esther said, God, I know you want to use me, but I'm so, so afraid. Many times God will allow things to come into our life that are too much for us to handle on our own. David said this. David was King David. You know the story, David and Goliath. He grows up. He becomes the king of all of Israel. And he is he's king, and he's got this heart after God, the Bible says. But David was a fallen, broken man just like you and I. He had temptations. He had desires that weren't right. And he ends up committing some terrible sins. He gets just overcome with guilt and shame. And he says this about himself. He says in Psalm 38, 4 through 8, he says, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. I am exhausted and completely crushed. My groans come from an anguished heart. David had too much in his life than he could handle on his own. And even Jesus himself. Jesus, God in flesh. Jesus, on the night that he is arrested, he goes to be alone for a little while. He takes some of his closest friends with him and he says, you stay here. I'm going to go and pray. He is so stressed. He's thinking about the events that are about to unfold. He knew that he came to die for us on a cross, but this is stressing him out so much that he withdraws to go and pray. And Jesus says this, as recorded in the book of Mark, chapter 14. It says that Jesus began to be deeply distressed and troubled. He said, Jesus said these words, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the what? To the point of death. Jesus understands what it means to be distressed. He understands the storms in life that we all will go through. Scripture never says that God will not give you more than you can handle. In fact, the opposite is often true. You are going to experience seasons in your life when you can't get through it on your own. But there is hope here today. There is encouragement for us all to hear and to hold on to. And for those of you who are here today and you feel like there are storms just going on in your life right now, I want you to have hope, and I want you to have an understanding that there are often times that God allows seasons of stress and strife and turmoil in our life for very important reasons. And I want to share two of them with you this morning. The first reason that God will often allow us to have more than we can handle, if you're taking notes, is so that we learn to depend on His presence. When things are going good for most of us, it's often very easy to forget about God, right? We're going through life, things are going fine, and you might even be a Christian, a follower of Jesus, and you're like, you know, I need you, God, but things are going good right now. I don't need you so much. And you begin to drift away. You begin to take Him for granted. You begin to go down your own paths in life. And sometimes you're like, you know what, things are going so good, and I know God doesn't want me to do this, but things are so good right now. What harm could this do? And we begin to not only forget about God, but walk away from Him. That tends to be how, unfortunately, it goes for most of us as human beings. When things are good, God, we don't need you. But isn't it amazing that as soon as life begins to unravel, As soon as tragedy strikes, how quick we are to turn back to God. I don't know where you were on the morning of 9/11. I was actually in my car on my way to a youth pastor meeting. We were going to go pray for an event called See You at the Pole that happens every September. We were praying that God would turn the hearts of our nation back to God. No way did we anticipate that strike that happened that morning of 9/11. But in the coming weeks and months, you heard place after place, churches were packed fuller than they had been in 50 years. When tragedy strikes, many times we're like, crap, we need God. And as soon as something bad happens, we're like looking to Him. Churches were overflowing. Churches were leaving their doors unlocked 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and people were there all the time begging God for mercy, asking God, why did this happen? Praying that God would bring healing, praying that God would bring protection. It's amazing how when things fall apart, how quickly our hearts turn to God. And this has happened throughout history. The Israelites, when things were going good, they would begin to just walk away from God and do things their own way and make choices that they knew God didn't want. And then as soon as tragedy came, they turned back to God. God is a loving Father. And God is always there waiting for us, even in the midst of tragedy, even in the midst of trial and struggle. God is there. In the Bible, we see a great example from the life of Jonah. Jonah rebelled against God. Things were going great for Jonah. Jonah was enjoying, you know, life as any person would back then. And Jonah all of a sudden gets a message from God. Jonah, I want you to go to the Ninevites and I want you to tell them that they need to turn to me. Now, the Ninevites back then, you have to understand, they were the epitome of evil. They were a barbaric, cannibalistic, torturous type of people. They would just destroy entire nations and societies just by coming in and taking over. And God says to Jonah, Jonah, I want you to go and tell them they have to stop what they're doing and they need to turn to me. And Jonah's like, forget it, God. There's no way I'm doing this. And he turns and goes the opposite direction. He runs to the shore. He gets on a boat headed the exact opposite direction than God wants him to go. And through a series of unfortunate events, God gets a hold of Jonah. He gets thrown over the side of this boat. He gets thrown down into this stormy sea, and this great fish comes and swallows him. And we catch the story here in Jonah chapter 2. And it says this. It says, in my distress, Jonah chapter 2, verse 2 and 7. It says, in my distress, this is Jonah speaking, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. You see what Jonah said? Actually, are you paying attention to what Jonah didn't say? Jonah didn't say, in my success, I called to the Lord. So many times when things are going right, we feel like, you know, I did a good job. I did a good thing. But as soon as things go wrong, God, I need you. Jonah says, in my distress, I called to the Lord. And what happened? And he answered me. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord. And my prayers rose to you. It's amazing how when storms come in life, we begin to wonder about God. And the challenge that I hope that sinks in today for us to overcome is that many times instead of saying, man, life just isn't going the way I wish it would, God must not be there. God, I prayed for this and the opposite happened. Where are you? Things are not going the way that I know you would want them to, so you just must not be there, God. Catch this. This is so important for us to hear. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Let me repeat that. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Jesus himself said, as I suffered, you will suffer as well. Jesus said, there have been many trials in the world, and you will endure many trials and sufferings in the world, but don't lose heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus said, I will be with you always to the end of the age. I will never leave you or forsake you. God never promised us that this world would be smooth sailing. God never promised that this world would be full of just happy stories. What he did promise is that he would be present with us in the storms in our life. Why does God allow trials and hardship and more than we can handle to come into our life? Many times it's to teach us to depend on his presence. And instead of running from him, I've had friends who have said, you know what, John, I tried God, but this happened and this went wrong and God just didn't do it for me. Church didn't work. And so I'm done. My hope is instead of running from God in the midst of our trials and struggles, we will have the attitude of the psalmist from Psalm 45:18. And said, he said this, he said, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Some of you here this morning, you're going through a storm of sorts. And my hope is that you will begin even now to call to God, to seek after him, to seek after him with your whole heart. The scriptures say, if you seek after God with your whole heart, you will find him. He is in the midst of your storm. He is there with you and he is ready to carry you through it. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. The second thing that I want to catch you with today, the second lesson that we will often learn when we have more than we can handle is to depend on his presence and experience his power. I have to tell you that in the 20 years of ministry that I've been had the privilege of serving as a youth pastor, as associate pastor, as being the pastor of Hope Hill Church the last 5 years, there have been many times, many mountains, tops, experiences, and many valleys. Life is full of them, right? Many times where things are going great and it feels like you're on the mountaintop, and other times when it's not going so good and you're down in the valley. I have learned in my own life that more times and more often than not, I learn more and feel God's presence and his power more in the valley than on the mountaintop. I grew up in Colorado. You guys been to Colorado? Some of you? I love Colorado. I haven't been there in probably 20 years, but I remember climbing up to Pikes Peak, Cheyenne Mountain. My dad worked at NORAD for a little while, and we would be in the mountains often, and the higher we would get, you could see so far, especially Colorado. It's these huge, tall mountains, and then just flat all the way to, like, Kansas, and you could see forever, and the beauty of the mountaintops, you just look around, but the higher you got, there was less what? Less oxygen, less growth of anything, and it just became rocky, stony peaks, and it was majestic, but there was no growth. And many times in life, it's during those times in the valley, you look down and you see these fertile lands, you see farms, you see trees growing like crazy. And many times it's in those seasons of life where we're down in the valley that God is most present in our life, where he is working, where he's growing us, where he's stretching us, where there is fruitfulness. It's in those times when, yeah, we want to be on the highs, but many times God is, we experience God. Our eyes, God's always with us at both places. But many times we experience God and his power, at least in my life, in the low seasons of life. Down in the valley, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because God, you are with me. I want you to hear that promise today, that many times we are in those seasons of life because God wants us to teach us to depend on his presence and to experience his power. Because we have this mindset that God will never give us more than we can handle, because we have this mindset that in life we should do our best to go it alone, to be strong, to persevere, to push through on your own, that's how we get ourselves many times into trouble. I do not like putting people on the spot. I hate it. So if I have something I have to do, I will try my hardest to figure out how to do it alone instead of ask for help. Any of you like that would agree with me? I remember back, I don't remember how long ago, but it was when we owned one of those old-fashioned TVs, you know, the one with the tube in it, the really big, heavy ones. And I wanted to move it from the bedroom down to another level. And I'm like, I can do this. I know I can do this. Okay, so I get it and I'm fine. I'm like getting to the edge of the stairs and I'm like, okay, all right, I get down the first step and it's fine. This TV is getting, how many of you have shaken my hands? Have you ever shaken my hand? What do you get when you walk away? You get wet, exactly. I have very sweaty hands. They're sweating right now. If you don't believe me, you can come and look, okay? So I've got these sweaty hands. I mean, they're literally dripping. There's puddles down by my feet. And I'm not joking, okay? Not right now, but then, okay? Occasionally, there'll be a puddle here because I get very nervous. I'm talking about that in a minute, actually. But I'm sitting here, and I'm going one step at a time, and all of a sudden, I lose my footing, and I fall. And then we slide down a couple stairs, but the weight of the TV actually presses me against the stair. And I'm like, oh! And then I call out for help, okay? My brother comes running up the stairs, and he's like, John, what are you doing? I was like, I didn't want to bug you. I thought I could do it. He comes up, and he helps me, and we get it down easily. But so many times in life, we think we can just do it on our own. We think we can do it on our own strength, and we're going through life trying to do things on our own when we have to realize that God did not create us to go through life alone. God created us to go through life in His presence and in His power. God created us to be in relationship and community with one another and to be empowered by Him and His presence in our life. Instead of trying to go through life rowing a boat by ourselves up a stream that's going the opposite direction, we so many times say, I think I can, I think I can. And we row ourselves to the point of exhaustion. We keep trying to do it on our own when all along God's like, I gave you a sail, just put it up and let the wind of my spirit carry you where I want you to go. So many times we think in our own effort and our own power we have to do this because God will not give us any more than we can handle. But the truth is that as long as you live, you're going to come, if you haven't experienced it yet, if you're going to live through life, you are going to come to know more often than not that oftentimes you will experience more than you can handle. If you're going to become a foster parent ever, you're going to have times when you're going to experience more than you can handle. If you're going to raise a teenager of any kind, your own or a foster kid, you're going to have times when you have more than you can handle. If you're going to be married, you're going to at times have more than you can handle. God did not put us in this life to have an easy, just easy-go-lucky life. There's going to be trials and hardships. If we look back at one of the heroes of the Bible, Paul, we see this in his life. If you look at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, of all the heroes of the faith, I would think that God would hear Paul's prayers. Paul wrote 13, well, God wrote through Paul, 13 books of the Bible. And here, we see Paul struggling. He's actually pleading three times. He says, God, I've begged you. I've pleaded with you three different times to remove this thorn in my flesh, this trial, this struggle. But he didn't. And it wasn't just simply like, God, will you take this away? Three or four times. It was like begging, pleading, fasting, probably inviting the churches that he had helped plant. Guys, pray with me about this. And we don't know what the thorn in the flesh was. We don't know if he was struggling with blindness or some ailment or some disease or some kind of crippledness. We don't know. Is that a word? Anyways, it is now. We don't know exactly what Paul was going through, but three times on three seasons of life, Paul begged God to take it away. And God easily could have. If anybody in the Bible deserved it, it was Paul. If anybody had enough faith for it, it was Paul. And yet God did not spare Paul of whatever it was he was struggling with. And on our own, we're going to have that same thing. God, why are you going to please take this pain away? I have these constant headaches. God, I've got this child who will not listen. Please help him turn back to you. God, I've got this marriage. I need you to fix it. I know you can, but why won't you? Why is God allowing us to sometimes go through these seasons in life? Paul says, God, why? Why won't you take this from me? And look at God's response. 2 Corinthians 12 says this. God, why won't you do this? And instead, he says to me, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made what? Perfect in weakness. Do you hear what God is saying? Paul, I need you to know this. Even in your moments of weakness, my grace is all you need. We will never really come to understand the power of God until God is all we have. In our moments of trial and strife, we will see God shine through if we look to Him. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul, you know, begins to look at his response. He gets a little crazy here. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness. I want to read this excerpt from you from a book. It goes on. It says this. It says, I'm going to look at this from my perspective and think to myself, if anybody deserved God's healing and God's answer to prayer, it was surely Paul. There's going to come a time, I promise you, if you walk with God long enough and live in this sin-filled world long enough, when you're going to find your own thorn that just doesn't go away. And you're going to ask God, why don't you remove this? Can't you answer my prayer? Can't you just help me in this midst of depression? Can't you take it away? Can't you heal my child of these headaches? I hate seeing someone I love suffer so much. Can't you just fix this marriage? Can't you just turn my teen back towards you? Can't you just help me for 1 month to get ahead financially? God, I know you can do it, but why don't you? Why would God allow me to have more than I can handle? Why didn't he just do it when he could? This is exactly where Paul was. God actually spoke to Paul and he says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. Paul started to say what at face value sounded like crazy talk. I want you to watch the power of what he says. He says, okay, if that's the case, then I want to boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. In other words, hey, God, I'm weak here. Why? So that Christ's power can come and rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, he says, I delight in weakness. In other words, thank God that I'm weak here. I delight in insults. Thank you. God, the people are insulting me for serving you. I delight in that. What he experienced? What did Paul experience? He was beaten. He was whipped. He was left for dead. He was snake bitten. He was shipwrecked. And Paul said, I delight in all of these hardships. I delight in persecution. Where there is spiritual opposition against me, I delight in difficulties. Why? Because that verse says, that very last line, for when I am what? Say it. For when I am weak, I am strong. And we need to come to this point in life of not having the mindset that I can do it all. God is not going to give me anything that I can handle. Instead, understanding that if God is really going to lead me, He's going to lead me to take paths that I can't walk on my own. He's going to lead me to do tasks that I can't do on my own. He's going to lead me to take things and do things that I can't do on my own. I am going to need Him. I'm going to have to learn what it means to be broken. I'm going to have to learn what it means to be humble. James says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. God is looking for a heart that is broken and willing to say, God, I can't do it on my own, but you can do it through me. I feel this every Saturday night when I'm preparing to teach. I love being a pastor, but one of the things I hate the most is what I'm doing right now. I get so sweaty. Every Saturday night, I'm in the bathroom on my own for hours, having upset stomach. If you don't believe me, just ask Brandy, who always yells at me, get out of the bathroom. This is one of the hardest things for me to do, is to get up in front of you and teach these things, because I don't know what you're going to think. I don't know if I'm going to say it right. Am I going to somehow lead you astray? There's so much pressure that I feel, and yet I pray, God, please take me in the midst of my weakness. I pray your Holy Spirit speaks somehow truth to what I'm trying to say. In our weakness, God can be made strong. For you today, some of you, you're rowing through life. You're trying to get through powers on your own strength. You're trying to get through struggles on your own. And you need to stop rowing and you need to put up your sail. And you need to let God start carrying you. Some of you, you're in the midst of a trial, a struggle, a storm, and you're ready to walk away from God, but God is there in the boat with you. And He is ready to lead you if you'll simply look to Him. As we bring things to a close, I want you to know that sometimes storms are there for a very good reason. They're there to teach us to depend on God's presence. They're there to help us to learn to experience and operate in the power of God and His presence in our life. To realize that Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. My grace is enough for you. My grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And we know that all things God works together for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. Let's pray. If you're here this morning and you're in the middle of some kind of storm, Jesus is here with you. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Whatever struggle it is that might be going on in your life, God wants to be there with you. He wants to help you through it. He wants you to see Him in it. And for some of you, your first step is not putting up a sail. It's realizing that God has given you a sail. It's realizing that God wants to be in your life to help you. You don't have to get through these things on your own. He died on a cross. He crossed the galaxies and the universe to come down to our earth to take our place on the cross. When Jesus was on the cross, He took all of our sins, the ones that you and I have not even yet done. He took them upon Himself and He died in our place, saying, I have come to give you life. I forgive you for all that you've done. Stop trying to live life on your own. Stop trying to go through those storms on your own. I love you. I care for you. I came to forgive you. Just put your faith and trust in me, and I will be there with you to the very end of the age. And some of you need to open your heart right now and say, yes, God, I believe in you. I trust in you. I don't want to just believe in you when times are rough. I want to believe in you in the mountaintops and in the valleys. I want to put my faith and trust in you right here and now and walk with you one step at a time. And the scripture says that at the moment that you believe in your heart that God raised Him for the dead, that He died for you, and you call out to Him with your mouth and call Him as your Lord, at that moment you will be saved. And for some of you, today is that day. Right here, right now, just call out to Him in your mind. God, thank you for dying on a cross for me. Thank you for giving me life. Forgive me for the choices that I make that are wrong. Help me to make choices that are right. Help me to follow you. Jesus, come into my life and make me new. And for those of you who have put your faith in Jesus and you're just trying to get through life on your own, stop rowing. Stop trying to carry TVs downstairs by yourself. Realize that there is somebody here to help you, and His name is Jesus. He wants to help you accomplish everything in life that He has called you to do. When you think you have more than you can handle, there's a reason. God will put things in your life to cause you to look to Him, to depend on Him, and depend on His power. Call on Him now. Don't run from Him. Call on Him. Father God, I pray that you hear our prayers of our hearts and our minds right now. Speak to us in the midst of whatever it is going on in our life, the brokenness of our families, the sickness and disease that's in our bodies, the stresses at our job. God, in all of these circumstances, help us to see you. Help us to call out to you. Help us, God, to let you lead us. We need you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would have a heart just speaking to God and listen to Him in these moments. Think about the things I've shared. Think about the things that God is speaking to your heart right now. If there's something in your life that you want to pray about, come forward. I would love to pray with you. If you've given your heart to Jesus, come let me know. I would love to celebrate that with you. Think about these things. Pray about these things. Remembering that Christ died to give us life. Let us respond now in our hearts to Him for what He's done for us. God, move among us now. In your name I ask all these things. Amen. Respond now as God leads you.